59 degrees in Kalamazoo. It's AM 590 WKZO, and it is 3:08. Time to get things rolling here on the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Glad that you could be along for the ride. My name is Jeremy Lawrence, and along with me, the ever-speedy and intrepid producer,
Michael Loudon.
He's here, he's ready to go, and he finished the 10K almost as fast as I finished my 5K over the weekend. So, congrats to you, you're way faster than me, but I think I told you something like that on Friday anyway.
Yes.
But the marathon, it happened this last weekend. Lots of great stuff that happened there. Yes, I survived the 5K. I have not fallen apart yet, I'll let you know. But... But a good time was had by all, and what we say, it was something around 5,000-6,000 people all told, or
yeah,
something
like that.
I didn't get the exact figure. I know it's out there, but yeah, a lot of people out enjoying themselves, running around. It was a little frigid, but I guess that didn't stop most of us.
Once you got moving, though, you warmed up pretty quickly.
You did, and it helped that you had... Well, several thousand of your closest friends all gathered around you.
Yes, except there weren't many around me. I saw maybe 20 total runners.
Brag on yourself. Just enough. Gosh. All right. Well, we've got lots to tell you about. Of course, we've got video of the day that we're going to be doing. We've got that at WKZO.com. Check out the blog section, and you will love to see it. You'll like it, definitely. Got a movie ticket giveaway we're going to be doing a little bit later in the program. If you like animated stuff, if you like family stuff, how about a couple of tickets to Legends of Oz? This is that new animated Wizard of Oz sequel that's coming out in theaters. And we're going to be giving away tickets for that a little bit later. Also, we were going to talk about this on Friday, didn't get the opportunity, but, you know, people always say they don't want to elect another Bush president or another Clinton president, and then they turn around and say how much they like Hillary or how much they like Jeb Bush. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Political dynasties, people say they hate them, but apparently they love them. We'll talk about that a little bit later, though. Right now, we do have the privilege of having join us on the phone a friend of mine, an author, a commentator, and a guy that just knows good barbecue when he sees it. We're talking about none other than Todd Starnes. Hi, Todd. Welcome to the program.
Jeremy, good afternoon from the Fox News corner of the world.
And how are things in New York City?
Well, not too terribly bad. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Mm. We've been having a bit of a controversy here in these parts over Cinco de Mayo. There was a bit of controversy at a university because they were going to be serving up burritos and chips and salsa and guacamole.
Sure, standard
at
fare.
At the Cinco de Mayo celebration. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the kids, apparently some of the enlightened progressive kids, said that was culturally and racially insensitive.
Oh, boy.
And Jeremy, your listeners may not know this, but I happen to be a white man, a Caucasian, if you will, and I do try to be politically and culturally sensitive at times, and I became very concerned because I, Todd Starnes, have been known to eat at the Taco Bell.
Uh-oh.
And I'm quite partial to the chalupa.
Well,
and I'm wondering if that makes me racially insensitive.
Well, you know, Todd, I think we'll be well covered if we just change the name of it. We could just call them wraps. You know, then you might be okay.
You see, this is why you are a radio host, because you are a wise sage.
Oh, I try. I don't know that that's totally true. I think I just play one on the radio. So,
well, as I opined in one of my radio commentaries the other day on this matter, I said eating a burrito is not culturally insensitive. What happens about a half an hour later just might possibly be, though. So,
well, Todd, I'm glad you brought up your commentary, because it's one of the things that we're going to get the opportunity in another couple of weeks to enjoy on a regular basis. You do your commentary three times daily, and here at WKZO, we're signing on.
You know, I'm really excited about this, and someone told me that, you know, one of our team here said that we were coming to Kalamazoo, and I'm pretty pumped up about that. Your listeners, well, these commentaries, they're one-minute commentaries, but I got to tell you, the folks over at Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert shops, those guys those guys listen to this commentary, and they're typically, you know, just ripping me on their shows.
Mm-hmm.
So we have quite the storied audience out there.
Well, and you know, you've got an awful lot of people that listen to what you have to say every day, and I think, Todd, the thing that I like about it is, you know, while you do present your opinion and you're unashamed of it, at the same time you do it with good humor and that kind of thing. I always enjoy that. Really, no matter what side of the spectrum it comes from, if you've got good humor, then you've got my ears.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And look, we got to have a little dose of levity in what's happening with these wackadoodles that are running our country right now.
Now, Todd, to kind of let people know who you are and that kind of thing, because, you know, Todd, I know you very well and I know what you're about. But a lot of people listening right now go, well, who in the world is Todd Starnes? So just give us a little thumbnail sketch of who you are so people can get to know you a little bit.
Jeremy, I've been here at Fox News for about 10 years now. I'm originally from the southern states, Memphis, Tennessee. And even though I've been here for that amount of time, you know, I still take my chicken fried, my biscuits buttered, and my tea sweet. And I do believe that one of the reasons that God has seen fit to bless our country is that we know how to smoke a pork butt.
And it has nothing to do with rolling paper.
No, of course. Well, hold on. Let me think about that for a moment.
I sense a commentary coming.
I also happen to be a Southern Baptist. I've been, since I was a little fella, and so I bring an evangelical Christian perspective to a lot of my commentaries. But as I write in my new book, God Bless America, I'm more than happy to fellowship with any denomination that doesn't want to blow me up. So that's sort of my take on ecumenical life. But I was really influenced as a kid growing up by the writings of folks like Louis Grizzard and Irma Bombeck. And I try to write in that to emulate that folksy style. And, there are folks that like to, that have great Ivy League educations, and they know how to pronounce multi-syllabic words. But I prefer just to hang out with those folks that President Obama calls bitter Americans. And I'm proud to call myself a gun-toting, chicken-eating, Bible-clinging son of a Baptist.
Now, you've got quite a story that that you could tell. And one of these days, we'll have you on just to talk about your backstory and how you had managed to you had heart surgery and ended up running a marathon and that kind of thing. It's an inspiring story. And not only did I get the opportunity to read it, I actually forced my wife to read it. And that was in your first book, actually. And
that's right.
And it's such a great story, and I wish we had the time now to do it, but we will definitely have you on to tell your backstory, because it is inspiring, particularly if somebody's looking for a reason to get fit. You give a great, great reason to do it.
Well, you know, I was it's going to be 9 years coming up in just a couple of weeks, where, you know, at 37 years old and had to have open heart surgery. And I wrote a book about that. The name of the book is They Popped My Hood and Found Gravy on the Dipstick. And you got to think about that for a second. But it really tells the story of, getting this new mechanical heart valve and then from there ending up running a couple of years later, running the New York City Marathon. And, of course, that violated belief that my parents instilled in me as a child growing up in North Mississippi, because my father told me there's really no reason to run unless something large and hairy's chasing you.
Well, I don't know who else got into the New York Marathon.
Not going to go there, Jerry.
Well, Todd, you mentioned just a second ago that you've written a new book, and I guess it's out tomorrow. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, but, you know, my understanding is a lot of bookstores already have the book on the shelves.
Uh-huh.
It's called God Bless America, and I cover a lot of culture war stories here, and this book is a collection of stories and essays about the attacks on religious liberty in this country. And it's been endorsed by Sean Hannity and Sarah Palin and Mike Huckabee. And tonight I will be on Lou Dobbs at 7 o'clock on Fox Business Network. And then at 10 o'clock tonight I'll be on Hannity.
Okay. Okay.
But right now I'm hanging out. You see, you scooped Hannity.
Well, I try, you know. But, and I'd actually, I was going to tell you, Todd, I had the occasion just, I believe it was, I think this morning, that I sat down and wrapped up your new book, because you managed to slide me an advance copy, and I do appreciate that. But I had a
Absolutely.
Chance to wrap it up, and I mean, there are a lot of different things that, if people read this, they're going to, on the surface, go, wow, I can't believe that's actually happening in America. But I know you're the guy that follows this up, and if it wasn't true, you wouldn't be printing it.
Well, that's right. You know, look, I live in Brooklyn among the indigenous liberal population. These people, whenever there's bad weather, the only thing they run out of at the supermarket is arugula and kale chips. they're very healthy people. But I live, if you guys remember the MTV Music Awards when Miley Cyrus was getting funky with that guy dressed in the Beetlejuice outfit, so that's my neighborhood. And I remember sitting there watching all of that going down, and I just kept thinking to myself, and it became the opening line of this book, that I feel like I'm just a Duck Dynasty guy living in a Miley Cyrus world, and I feel like Washington, D.C. is twerking on all of us.
So with your new book, you're getting a chance to go out and travel around a little bit, tell people a little bit about what's in the book and that kind of thing. So certainly
yes.
some fun food and that kind of thing coming your way.
But very excited about that. We're going to be launching our bus tour on Friday. And boy, they've got this big, fancy bus. The only problem I have here, they put the big wrap on it. You know, so they've got my, you know, face and the book cover and the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
But my problem is my mouth is where the exhaust pipe is on the bus.
you got to take a picture of that now.
you better believe it. But we're going to be conducting town hall meetings and church houses and other venues and giving folks a chance to hear from me, and I want to hear from them. And, you know, I'll be doing a lot of my radio commentaries, all of my radio commentaries for the next couple of weeks will be on the road.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be out in California. I'll be giving a speech at the Reagan Ranch. But one of the exciting things about me, and I think your listeners are going to hopefully appreciate this, you know, I love going to smaller towns and communities and talking to folks and shaking their hands and signing, you know, copies of the book. And that's really what I'm all about is, you know, I'm telling our stories at the national level. And I don't think many other folks are doing that. But I've committed to doing that, and that's what we've been doing now for, gosh, almost 10 years.
And certainly, and to give people kind of a preview of your commentary and that kind of thing, I know that, you know, certainly you focus on the culture war and that kind of thing, but there are other times that there are heartwarming stories there that, you know, whatever it is, you mix it up a little bit, and I just know people are going to enjoy it.
We have a fun time with those commentaries, and in our afternoon pieces, we typically give shout-outs to folks celebrating the big 100th birthdays or the big wedding anniversaries, and we really try to make it about America. And, you know, I truly believe that America is the greatest country on the face of the earth. I'm a proud supporter of all of our amendments to that, all of our rights in the Constitution, and I'm also a proud member of the National Rifle Association. Because, Jeremy, as we all know, the pen is mightier than the sword, but a Glock is much more effective.
We're talking with Todd Starnes. He's a guy that you might see him from time to time. He does appear on Fox News, various programs there. He's an author, speaker, barbecue connoisseur. I know that you are. One thing, if we could do anything, I just kind of wish that we could deliver some of that good barbecue to around here. I love good barbecue. Love to see more of it around.
Yeah, it was. I tell you what, there's something about barbecue, I'm ecumenical when it comes to barbecue. So I've been known to fellowship with the people in Texas, even though you know they consider barbecue to be beef.
Mm-hmm.
I am a purist. I believe in the pig, and you know, I'm from, of course, the Memphis area, so we're more of a dry rub kind of a place. Mm-hmm. But what really bothers me is California, and Lord knows what they're smoking out there. But they call barbecue. You know, I remember I worked out in Sacramento for a year, and my first week out there, I got invited to this big shindig, and they said, we're going to have a barbecue. So I show up, and I'm like, man, where are the ribs? And all they have are hot dogs and hamburgers.
Uh-oh.
And oh, man.
And I'm like, man, I had to rebuke him in the name of Jesus.
Oh, I tell you. But, Todd, definitely looking forward to hearing more from you on the commentary, and definitely good fortune as you're out on the road, and good luck with the new book. I'm sure it'll be successful. I'm sure it'll shock a lot of people. One final question, if I may, just and then I know you've got to run, but what would be kind of the one thing, if you could boil down everything that you're trying to get across in your new book, what would it be?
Well, the big issue here, and I think one of the reviewers hit a home run when they said this is a mix of humor and horror. And I think people need to understand that religious liberty is under attack in this country, and that the Christian faith is intentionally being targeted by the Obama administration. And we are at a point now, a very dangerous juncture. Rick Warren, the pastor from California, Saddleback Church, told me that this issue, the religious liberty issue, will be the civil rights issue of our generation. Other pastors are telling me that if we do not put a stop to this assault on religious liberty, they believe that Christians will be subjected to open persecution here in the United States. That is a very sobering message, and if nothing else, I really consider myself to be kind of a modern-day Paul Revere, and I hope this book warns people and alerts them to what's happening in their country.
Okay. Todd Starnes, appreciate you joining the program today, and we'll definitely have you back sometime.
Jeremy, you're one of the great ones.
All right. Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it. And tell you what, you get to look forward to Todd Starnes and his commentary. It's going to come up 3 times a day. We're going to be doing that in the next couple of weeks, so we look forward to having that on the airwaves here. Definitely glad that you're with us, and as we continue ahead, we're going to be talking about political dynasties and a whole lot more. So keep it right here. Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. It's 59 degrees. Jeremy Lawrence here with you on 590 WKZO. Political legacies. Everybody, I mean everybody, says they don't like them. It just seems that way anyway. Polling data indicates that 69% of people say they hope neither a Bush or a Clinton will dominate the presidential race in 2016. And yet a Clinton is on top for the Democrats, and a Bush is potentially on top for the Republicans. Why? Well, we'll dig into that a little bit later as we continue on with the program. Because, people, they just kind of, for some reason, they like, even if they say they don't like a political dynasty, they like the familiar. They like something that seems like, oh, Clinton, yeah, those were good years, sure. Or, oh, Bush, yeah, I know what we're getting there, okay. We'll talk about that a little bit further. Take your phone calls as well when we do it, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Or, as always, you can text us, 803-73. Going to have a rundown of what the weather looks like this week. Coming up, Bob Larson, straight ahead in about 10 minutes. You make sure you keep it right here. Continuing ahead, Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. It's 59 degrees outside. Michael, I haven't been outside for a while. I'm assuming it's reasonable.
Yes, it's definitely reasonable.
A reasonable 59 degrees out there. So, see, this is what happens. I get locked to my desk, and I don't see a window ever.
Yes, because you don't have a window at your desk.
No, I just the only window I have looks at you. So I don't know. I got problems here as far as that goes. But one window on the world that we're going to be taking advantage of here is just a little bit. Scheduled to speak with Bob Larson. We're going to be talking about what the weather's going to do because, you know, I have heard rumors that we're going to hit 80 degrees this week.
I believe those rumors could come true.
They could. And I'd like to be able to get with Bob to see if it's going to be the good kind of 80 degrees that we all enjoy or the really not so good kind of 80 degrees that includes thunderstorms and all those wonderful things. So we'll check in with him here in just a few minutes on that. Also, I'm going to be talking a little bit about political dynasties in just a few minutes because, you know, seems like that there is a Clinton political dynasty. Of course, Bill Clinton, president for 8 years. Some people trying to forget that. But Hillary has talked about running, has run in the past, and is thinking about running again. And apparently, if she runs, she'll end up being the front runner and almost prohibitive front runner for Democrats for the presidency. On the Republican side, of course, you got George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, and now apparently Jeb Bush is thinking about it as well. And they're saying that if he starts running, presumptive front runner status is what he would end up with. Just the whole Bush name, I guess, you know. But people say they don't like political dynasties. They don't. They don't think that these people should have that much power. But people tend to like, for whatever reason, familiar names. So we'll talk about that, dig into it a little bit, and get your opinion on it as well as we continue the discussion. 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. 803-73, you can text us and get your insights to us as we roll along here. Well, one of the things that we wanted to make sure that we focus on right now, though, is what the weather is all about, what the weather is like. And first of all, before we dig into it, Bob, I got to give you a little bit of a tip of the hat. I know you can't take credit for it, but the weather yesterday was pretty good, I got to admit.
At least it didn't rain. The sun was shining, a little windy at times, though.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, if you had the wind behind you, that kind of helped running a little bit.
That's true. That's the way I prefer to do it. And I'd set up a little sail, maybe, to have it push me along. But
you know, I thought about that, but they told me that, you know, that the organizers of this race said, yeah, that would be cheating.
You would have plowed over all the runners in front of you, too.
Yeah, interesting thought.
Wow, believe it or not, he won. I wonder how.
Right. Yeah. That'd be a YouTube moment. We get that on video.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Disqualified, but you know, it looks really good on YouTube.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, I heard a rumor that we're going to see 80 degrees before the week's out. Is that true?
Yeah, we're going to come close. And maybe not just one day of it either. We're going to warm up. And my word of the day is accelerate, as we're going to accelerate the warm-up here, starting with Wednesday. And I don't think it's going to hit 80 on Wednesday, but I believe we're well into the 70s. Mm-hmm. And we got a shot, a pretty good shot, to get to 80 on or above on Thursday and probably right back to the 70s again on Friday. It's a little cooler Saturday, but by Sunday it's back to the 70s again. So I think when it's all said and done, we get at least 180 out of this stretch.
Wow. Wow. I'm going to actually be able to use my short-sleeve golf shirts.
How about that?
I'm amazed. But now, with some of this weather, I mean, are we talking about nice, warm, everybody goes outside kind of 80s and 70s? Or are we talking about the kind that might bring with it some showers and thunderstorms and that kind of thing?
Fingers crossed. But I think Thursday is the day that not only would be potentially the warmest, but probably free of rain. At the initial surge of the warm front itself crossing the area, I think there could be some shower activity. That would be Wednesday as the warmer air is arriving. And then we get a break on Thursday. And then as the next cool front approaches, maybe some shower thunderstorm activity Friday and Friday night. But in between, at least Thursday, right now looking dry and warm.
Okay. Well, something to look forward to there. But for now, what do we got to put up with till we get there?
Well, it's going to be chilly tonight. We drop into the 30s in a day where it is struggling to get toward that 60-degree mark. And tomorrow, though, it ends up milder than today, middle and upper 60s. Chance of a shower, thunderstorm later tomorrow night, Wednesday morning, as the warm front comes through. It's warmer Wednesday afternoon, well into the 70s, and that takes us to 80 or above for Thursday.
Okay. All right. So some at least some decent things to look forward to And I don't know what I guess it would be good running weather. I mean, most people have gotten that out of the way. But for some of us, we got another race to train for. So,
that's right.
So I guess we look forward to that.
Right. And this weather overall looks a lot like the month of May. How about that?
Oh, my goodness. Are we average again?
Actually, we're going to shoot above average for a little bit here. But overall, just this overall weather picture of the next 5 to 10 days, pretty much what one would expect for the month of May, with some back and forth and mostly on the warm side.
Wow, above average weather. What's that like?
Average high right now. Right now we're a little below average. Average high in the Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, is at 67. By the end of the week, it's 69. So we will be, although we're starting below average, we will shoot above average for a short time, and then it settles back toward average again at the end of the week. All things considered, very, very common for this time of year.
Okay. Bob, I do have one other question. It takes us a little bit outside of our area, but I did see a weather map over the weekend that said there was potential for some nasty stuff south of here. Is that still kind of in the cards down that way? Or
for in terms of severe storms, again,
similar
to last week? I don't think it's a setup like we had last week. It's not going to be that ferocious. It's not as strong a system, but there is the threat of severe storms again. Not so much just in the south, but maybe more in the traditional classic Tornado Alley zone from Oklahoma through Kansas and Nebraska the second half of the week, starting with Wednesday and then especially Thursday.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, we all kind of care as we hear about these storms going through, and you don't want to hear about those tornadoes.
And unfortunately, this time of year, we are rarely far away from that happening somewhere in that zone. If it's not the Midwest and the plains, it's in the southeast of Gulf Coast. It's unfortunately very common as we hit the month of May.
Mm. Yeah, very true. Well, Bob, I appreciate you checking in with us, and hopefully we can kind of avoid some of that nasty stuff in this area. Looks like so far we're going to do it.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Okay. Bob Larson from AccuWeather, thanks for joining us. And as we continue ahead, we're going to be chatting with you. Political dynasties. That's what's on the plate for us. Do you like the idea of another Bush presidency? How about another Clinton presidency? We're going to talk about it. Take your phone calls. 382-4280. 877-382-4280 is the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Continues on 590 WKZO. It's 352, 60 degrees here at the studios at Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO. And Jeremy Lawrence here with you as we're getting underway. Well, political dynasties. I mean, we've had that discussion, and we've had the discussion before, because let's not forget that we all dealt with this back in 2000 when all of a sudden, well, we got a Bush running for office. And we remember what it was to have a President Bush at that point. Well, now we've had two of them. And the possibility exists we could end up with two President Clintons. It seems like every prediction is that in 2016, you're going to see Hillary Clinton on the ballot for Democrats. And there's an awful lot of people saying, oh, she's got a fair chance of winning. But the interesting thing about it, and this was in a recent poll that said 69% of people said they hope neither a Bush nor a Clinton dominate the presidential race in 2016, which is interesting. With those kind of numbers, you would figure that a Hillary Clinton presidency would be something that people would go, oh, no, we don't want that. And let's not forget, George W. Bush's brother, Jeb Bush, is considering a run on the Republican side. There's an awful lot of mainline Republicans that are going, he needs to run. He needs to, this would be, what a great guy. All this would be terrific. And would he be popular? Well, to a certain degree, yes. But then there are others who would say, well, wait a minute. You remember Bush fatigue? You remember that? It was along about 2007, 2008, when people were just so sick of President Bush, and they didn't. I mean, anything labeled Bush was like, forget it. No. Now, since that time, George W. Bush has had sort of a rebirth, if you will. I mean, he's not talked politics. When he has talked with anybody, it's been about, well, let's take a little tour of the ranch here. You know, we're going to be clearing some brush here and, you know, he talked about, I believe it was a few years back when his daughter got married and that kind of thing. And then he's become a painter and painted all sorts of things. And I mean, the guy's actually really good if you've seen any of his work. He's not bad, apart from the bathtub selfie of his own feet. I couldn't quite figure that one out. I was like, oh, okay, Mr. President, whatever. But, you know, he's gotten to a point now where people actually sort of like him. I mean, I don't know what it is, but people have kind of gone, oh, okay, we kind of like him. It was long about 2013 that people got to the point where they said, well, you know what? We do have more of a favorable view of the guy. His favorables at one point in his presidency, we're talking 2005, was at 59%. At the low point in his presidency, 32%. That was in 2008 when everybody was sick of the man. After that, people have kind of, well, they've forgotten it a little bit. And now his favorable is at 49% because people go, oh, gosh darn it, we like the guy. But does that bode well for Jeb Bush? Well, George W. Bush recently said that his brother Jeb would be a great president. Oh, he'd be good. I think he'd be great at it. In fact, another George Bush has said the same thing, George P. Bush, who is actually running for office in Texas. Talk about a political dynasty down there.
Yes.
But he has also said that Jeb Bush would make a fantastic president. Now, whether or not that's true, I don't know. I think part of this, you know, because I've watched what Jeb Bush has stood up for, and it's kind of a middle-of-the-road, conservative-esque, kind of, sort of, you know. It kind of comes off a little bit as what George W. Bush ended up being, which if you remember when George W. ran, it was more about, compassionate conservative and all this stuff. It wasn't so conservative after all, really. And you've seen Jeb Bush do an awful lot of that. Now, go to the other side of this, and you've got Hillary Clinton, who is basically running on, remember what Bill did? That's what I'll do without the stuff that happened in the Oval Office. I mean, that's basically what you're getting. And, okay, I get it, but when we get into the middle of this thing, will people kind of forget the name and start to get into a what does she stand for kind of thing? Now, there's some of it where people are going to go, and to get a chance to make history again at the ballot box, first woman president. And that's great, and I understand that. But ultimately, I think the question will be, what does she stand for? What does she believe in? You know, we saw that what she believed in back when Bill was in office was a healthcare system that, quite frankly, is sort of like what Obama did. So that doesn't bode terribly well because Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act continues to be, I don't know, I don't like it, I don't think I want that. I mean, you're getting that level of skepticism. And as we approach the election this fall, that kind of skepticism is weighing things in a certain direction. There's an awful lot of people saying they'd rather trust the Republican Party with things, which is an odd twist on all of this because it hasn't been that way to this point. So would that continue on to 2016? And here's the thing. Should we get to a point where we say to ourselves, you know what? We need to be able to have somebody different for both parties. You know, because people keep talking about, dream ticket. Clinton-Obama, meaning Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama running. No, you don't want that. You really don't want that. And I think at the same time, you don't want to necessarily do Bush anything that's running for it on that side of things. Because people remember, conservatives remember Bush with some trepidation because of the kind of spending that he did. But on the other side of it, you've got people that are going, Bush, wait a minute. All right. Iraq, Afghanistan. The economy went in the tank at the end of his presidency. Yeah, I don't think I want to go for that either. So, you know, we were approaching this particular time around, at least on the Republican side, they were saying, well, there's going to be some new names, new faces in there. You're going to see the possibility of Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Chris Christie's talked about running. And those are some interesting names, but throw in a Bush in the middle of it all, and suddenly you've got a campaign that will look very similar to what's been done in the past. People say they don't like it, but if they didn't like it, why in the world would these people even be considering running for the office to begin with? If they had no popularity, they wouldn't even be there.
It's the name. People gravitate toward it.
They remember that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to keep talking about this next hour. Take your phone calls as well. 382-4280 or 877-382-4280 as the show continues.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.